Welcome to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Mary, my Mother, and my Lady, I offer you my soul, my body, my life, my death, and all that will follow it. I place everything in your maternal hands. O my Mother, cover my soul with your virginal mantle, and guard me against all evil. Give me the grace of purity of heart, soul, and body. Defend me with your power against all enemies. Fortify my soul. Let pain not break it. Mother of grace, teach me to live by God's will. Unite my soul to Jesus. Continue to teach me about the interior life of our Lord. Pour your courage into my heart and guard it. Amen. Mary, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome again to the will of God in the life and the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta. Special greetings for all of you who listen this program in New Jersey, all of the groups in New Jersey. Special greetings to all of you. Today we will continue with Volume 21. The next passage comes from April 16, 1927, and the title is How Our Lord Made a Deposit of His Sacramental Life in the Heart of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary. The great good which a life animated by the divine will can do. How in her sufferings the Most Holy Virgin found the secret of strength in the divine will. Luisa Picarreta writes, I was doing the hour in which Jesus instituted the Most Holy Eucharist. When Luisa Picarreta writes this, she is referring to the 4 hour of the hours of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, in which the Lord institutes the Holy Eucharist. All of you who are familiar with these writings know that the hours of the Passion are part of the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, and that these writings are approved by the Church. We are free to reflect, to meditate upon these writings for our spiritual good, for our spiritual benefit. So let's continue. And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, when I do an act, first I look to see whether there is at least one creature in whom to place the deposit of my act, so that she may take the good I do and keep it safe and well defended. He tells us that first he seeks for a creature. The Blessed Mother is the first creature that lives in the divine will by grace. Our Lord gave her this gift. Our Lord possessed the divine will by nature because he is God. The Blessed Mother is a creature, but she received this grace of living in the divine will, the gift of the divine will in her soul by grace. Now, when I instituted the Most Holy Sacrament, I look for the creature, and my Queen Mama offered herself to receive my act and the deposit of this great gift, telling me, my son, just as I offer you my womb and all my being in your conception to keep you safe and sheltered, now I offer you my maternal heart to receive this great deposit. The Blessed Mother offers her maternal heart to receive the Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist. She is the depository of this sacrament. Jesus is in her heart, and she wants to bilocate her Jesus into our souls, into our hearts. That's how the Sacred Heart of Jesus will triumph in our souls. The Heart of Mary will triumph in our souls once we receive Jesus. And the Blessed Mother wants to bilocate her Jesus in our souls. Jesus wants to bilocate himself in our souls. He's able to do it. He bilocates himself in all the hosts around the world. And he's able to bilocate himself in all our souls. Through this gift of the divine will, by doing acts in the divine will, by doing our prayers in the divine will, all our actions. He's able to bilocate himself in every single act that we do. He's able to bilocate himself in our prayers, especially when we recite, when we pray with the hours of the Passion. He's able to bilocate in us because those are his same prayers, his same sufferings and meditations. So he's able to hear himself in us again. Let's continue. I line up around your sacramental life. My affections, my heartbeats, my love, my thoughts, all myself, to give you shelter, guard, love, protected. I myself take on the commitment to repay you for the gift you are given. Trust your mama, and I will take care of the defense of your sacramental life. And since you yourself constituted me the queen of all creation, I have the right to line up around you all the light of the sun as homage and adoration, the stars, the heavens, the sea, all the inhabitants of the earth. I place everything around you to give you love and glory. Our Lord constituted Mary the queen of all creation. She is the greatest creature. She was preserved from original sin. She gave her fiat to the Lord, her will. She lived in the divine will by grace. She is the most beautiful of all creatures. She is our mother, our queen, our lady. And she is the depository. She safeguards the blessed sacrament. The sacramental life is deposited in her. She is the mother of the church. She is our mother. That's why we need to develop this relationship with Our Lady. We need to pray to her to defend us, to guard us. We need to ask her to grant us the grace to live in this gift of the divine will. She will do it because this is her job. She goes around the world creating the dispositions in our souls so that we may be able to receive her Jesus. We have to dispose our souls through the sacrament of confession. We have to dispose our souls to receive the Eucharist, being careful to be in the state of grace when we receive our Lord. Now, being assured of a place in which to put this great deposit of my sacramental life, and trusting my mama who had given me all the proofs of her faithfulness, I instituted the most holy sacrament. Our Lady was found faithful. And we need to be found faithful too. We need to follow the Ten Commandments. We need to fulfill our duties in life. We need to strive to make little sacrifices to grow in the spiritual life. She was the only creature worthy to keep, defend, and protect my act. Then when the creatures received me, I descend into them together with the acts of my inseparable mama. And only because of this can I perpetuate my sacramental life. Therefore, whenever I want to do a great work worthy of me, it is necessary that I first choose one creature first in order to have a place in which to put my gift, second to be repay of it. The Blessed Mother is the depository of this sacrament. And our Lord is telling us that when He descends in our souls, in the Blessed Sacrament, in the Holy Eucharist, all the love that Our Lady had for Jesus is in there. When we receive our Lord, we receive the love of Our Lady too, in our hearts, in our souls. Our Lady loves us. She knows that we are a gift for her, and she is our gift to us too. Our Lord Jesus gave us this gift at the foot of the cross, and she received all of us, all the human race, as a gift. She is the mother of us all. So we need to love her. Love her and love her. Because she is our defender. She is our protector. We need to pray the rosary. We need to offer our communions in union with the Blessed Mother for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth as it reigns in heaven. To entrust our families. To entrust our life. To entrust our work, to entrust our vocations, to entrust everything to the Blessed Mother, that she may guide us, that she may defend us and protect us, that she may form this fountain of love in our hearts through her maternal hands. In all the apparitions of Our Lady, she gives us the same message, that she is the Mother of God, that she desires for us to be converted, to turn our hearts to God. And this is also what these writings of Luisa Picaretta are about, is the call of the creature to return to the order, the place, and the purpose for which the creature was created by God, meaning that we were created to adore God, to glorify, that God may be glorified through every single action that we do. And this is what Our Lady wants. She wants us to pray the rosary. She wants us to come back to her son. She wants us to possess the life of Jesus in our souls by virtue of the sacrament of baptism and by virtue of the sacrament of confirmation. We have the Holy Spirit in us, living in us. We are the indwelling place of the Blessed Trinity. And this life needs to grow. This life needs to shine outside. It cannot be hidden in us. It has to manifest itself in everything we do. Through these writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, we are called to mature in these gifts that we receive, to mature the gift of the divine will living in us, the gift that our Lord wants to bestow upon us during these times through these writings. Let's continue. They do this also in the material order. If a farmer wants to sow a seed, he does not throw it in the middle of a street, but rather he looks for a little field. First, he works it, he forms the furrows, and then he sows the seed in it. And to keep it safe, he covers it with earth, anxiously awaiting for the harvest to receive the return of his work and of the seed which he had entrusted to the earth. Someone else who wants to form a beautiful object first prepares the raw material, the place in which to put it, and then he forms it. So I have done for you, Luisa. I chose you, I prepared you, and then I entrusted to you the great gift of the manifestations of my will. And just as I entrusted the destiny of my sacramental life to my beloved mother, in the same way I want to trust you, entrusting to you the destiny of the kingdom of my fiat. Our Lord is telling us that in the same way that the farmer entrusts the seed to the earth, in the same way our Lord entrusted his sacramental life to Our Lady. And the Lord is entrusting this gift of living in the divine will to Luisa Picarreta so that through her we may come to know this gift, how to learn, how to live in this way. Luisa Picarreta is a creature like us, conceived in original sin like us. The Lord wants us to learn from her how to live in this gift. So she is the depository of this gift. In the same way that the Blessed Mother is the depository of the sacramental life, in the same way that the Church is the depository of the sacraments, of all that the Lord taught us, all his teachings. Luisa Picarreta is the depository of this gift. That's why in the Church we cannot change anything, because the Church is only the depository of the Gospel. And the Magisterium of the Catholic Church is in charge of guiding us. These writings, approved by the Church, help us to understand how to live in the divine will, how to live in this great gift that our Lord wants to bestow upon us during these times. So this is the mission of Luisa Picarreta, to teach us, to manifest how to live in the divine will. Then I continue to think about all my beloved good had done and suffered during the course of his life. And he added, "My daughter, my life down here was extremely short, and I spent most of it hidden. But even though it was very short, since my humanity was animated by a divine will, how many goods did I not do? The whole Church hangs upon my life, drinking her fill at the fount of my doctrine." The whole Church hangs upon the life of Jesus. The whole Church hangs upon the life of Jesus. Each word of mine is a fountain that feeds each Christian. Each one of my examples is more than a sun which illuminates, warms, fecundates, and makes the greatest sanctities mature. Luisa is the depository of this gift, and our Lord says that each word in the Gospels, in the writings of Luisa Picarreta, each word is a fountain. Each word is a fountain for the creature to come and to drink, to quench the thirst for God, to help us mature in holiness, to help us mature the gifts of God in us, and to help us mature in this sanctity of living in the divine will. This gift has to mature in us by doing acts, by reading, by offering small sufferings, small sacrifices to the Lord. All our prayers, everything. We cannot waste anything. In fact, If one wanted to make a comparison, all of the saints, all of the good, all of their pains and their heroism placed before my very short life will always be tiny little flames before the greatest sun. All the sufferings, all the pains, all the sacrifices of the saints, all of them combined, they are very small flames compared to the sacrifices of our Lord, because our Lord possessing himself by nature, he possessing himself the divine will, because he is God by nature. Our Lady possessed this gift by grace granted to her. Luisa Picaretta arrived to the point of living in the divine will because our Lord formed her, taught her how to live in this way, how to live in this spirituality. And this is exactly the mission of Luisa Picaretta, that our Lord wants us to learn from her this gift, that we may acquire this gift in us, that we may achieve this point of spirituality in our souls right here on earth. And since the divine will reign in me, all the pains, the humiliations, the confusion, the contrast, the accusations that the enemies gave me during the course of my life and of my passion, everything served to their own humiliation and to their own greater confusion. In fact, since a divine will was in me, it happened with me as with the sun, when the clouds extending through the lower earth seemed to want to insult the sun by obscuring the surface of the earth, covering momentarily the vividness of the solar light. But the sun laughs at the clouds because they cannot have perennial life in the earth. Their life is fleeting. A small wind is enough to make them dissolve. While the sun is always triumph in its fullness of light, which dominates and fills the whole earth. Our Lord compares the divine will with the sun and the sanctity of the saints with the clouds. They cannot overcome the sun, even in a cloudy day. When the earth is obscured by the clouds, the sun is still shining, still shines, even though we don't see it. So it happens with the divine will in us. Many times we are not going to see anything, we are not going to feel anything, but we need to trust in the Lord that he is there, that if we really have the intention to live in this way, to unite all our acts in the divine will, he will operate in us, and this is the greatest gift that he wants to bestow upon us. So we must not waste it, we must surrender to him, and we must make this a habit of us to immerse ourselves daily in the divine will. The same happened with me. Everything that my enemies did to me, and even my very death, were like many clouds that cover my humanity, but they were not able to touch the sun of my divinity. And as soon as the wind of the power of my divine will moved, the clouds dissolved, and more than sun, I rose again, glorious and triumph, leaving the enemies more humiliated than before. My daughter, in the soul in whom my will reigns, with all its fullness, minutes of life are centuries and centuries of fullness of all goods. While wherever it does not reign, centuries of life are only minutes of the goods they contain. The immensity of the divine will, that the divine will has no beginning, no end, and the divine will has the power to transform us, and acts done in the divine will are perfect, are eternal. So one act in the divine will, our Lord says in other part of the book of heaven, is greater than all the acts outside of the divine will, done outside of the divine will. So you can imagine the immensity, the magnitude, and all the beauty that with our human intellect cannot understand, how one act done in the divine will is greater than all the acts done outside of the divine will. Why? Because it's the will of God doing it, and God has no beginning and no end. It's the power of God operating in every single act of the creature when united in the divine will. It's the power of the Father's in every single act. The love of the Holy Spirit in every single act. And the wisdom of Jesus, the Son, in our acts. And if the soul in whom my will reigns should suffer humiliations, contrast, and pains, these are like clouds that the wind of the of the divine fiat unloads upon those who to their own humiliations have dared to touch the bearer of my eternal will. So we shall not be afraid of any humiliations, pains, and sufferings. We shall unite those and offer those as small sacrifices for the gift of the divine will to be known here on earth. Knowing that our Lord will recompense us, knowing that our Lord is with us, knowing that our Lord is pleased if we unite ourselves with His will. After this, I was thinking about the pain of my mama. When sorrowful and pierced in her heart, she departed from Jesus, leaving Him dead in the sepulchre. And I thought to myself, how could she possibly have so much strength as to be able to leave Him? It is true that He was dead, but it was always the body of Jesus. How could her maternal love not consume her, rather than letting her take one step alone away from that extinguished body? What charisma, what strength our Blessed Mother possessed. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me. Before we continue, I would like to mention something that Luisa Picarreta is referring to the last hour of the Hours of the Passion when she mentions this passage. The last hour of the Hours of the Passion, which is the 24th hour, that is the end. Our Mother, the Blessed Mother, goes to the sepulchre and leaves the body of Jesus there. It's a beautiful hour. I encourage all of you to meditate upon this hour, because in other part of the Book of Heaven, also in volume 11, our Lord tells Luisa Picarreta that He is very pleased when somebody meditates upon this specific hour, because He feels that the prayers of the Blessed Mother are renewed, and the Blessed Mother feels her prayers. She's been filled with glory. She's been filled with joy. This passage comes from October 1914, from volume 11. So I encourage you to meditate upon this hour too often as you can, knowing that by meditating upon that hour, the soul is able to accompany our Lord Jesus and the Blessed Mother. My daughter, do you want to know how my mama had the strength to leave me? All the secret of her strength was in my will reigning in her. This is the secret, the divine will reigning in the creature. She had all the strength. She had all the peace and joy, even in the midst of that humiliation, even in the midst of that suffering, of that sorrow. There are two kinds of sufferings that a creature is able to experience. Spiritual suffering, which we call it sorrow. Spiritual suffering, we call it sorrow. And physical pain, physical suffering. So we are able to experience those. Our Lord, in His Passion, He experienced both the sorrow and the physical pain. The Blessed Mother experienced this sorrow of seeing our Lord Jesus dead, her crucified Son. The secret of her strength was the divine will reigning in her. This is the secret of the strength that we all possess. When we live in the divine will, let the divine will possess you. Let the divine will take over your human will. She lived of a will which was divine, not human, and therefore she contained an immense strength. The Blessed Mother, since the moment of her conception, was given this gift. She was preserved of all sin. She is the full of grace. She is the one who found favor with the Lord. And the Lord tells her, do not be afraid. So it's the same message for us. We have found favor with the Lord. The Lord is pleased in giving this gift to us. So we should not be afraid to let our human will go. Let's get rid of our human will and let the divine will cover us, possess us, strengthen us. She lived of a will which was divine, not human, and therefore she contained immeasurable strength. Even more, you must know that when my pierced mama left me in the sepulchre, my will kept her immersed within two immense seas, one of sorrow and another more extensive, of joys and beatitudes. And while that of sorrow gave her all the martyrdoms, that of joys gave her all the contentments. Her beautiful soul alone follow me into limbo. Our Lady follow our Lord Jesus into limbo spiritually. She was able to bilocate herself following her divine son into limbo. And she was present at the feast that all the patriarchs, the prophets, her father, her mother, and our dear Saint Joseph made for me. Through my presence, limbo became paradise. Remember that we speak of limbo as that place in which all the patriarchs, all the saints of the Old Testament before Jesus were waiting for Jesus to open the door of heaven. Because remember that Jesus is the way. He is the one who leads us to the Father. He is the one who opens the way for us. That's why he says, I'm the way and the life. And when we speak of limbo, we speak about this, that all the patriarchs, the saints of the past before Jesus, the saints of the Old Testament, they remained there because the door was not open yet. Redemption had not been accomplished yet. But on the cross, Jesus says, everything is finished, Father. So he opens the door and he goes into limbo, our Lord tells us through these writings, to bring everything back to the Father. Through my presence, limbo became paradise, and I could not do without letting the one who had been inseparable from me in my pains participate in this first feast of the creatures. Her joy was so great that she had strength to depart from my body, withdrawing and waiting for the fulfillment of my resurrection as the fulfillment of redemption. Joy sustained her sorrow, and sorrow sustained her in joy. By divine grace, by the grace of God, she was preserved from all sin, and she was given this grace of living in the divine will. She possessed the divine will in her heart and her soul, so she was able to bilocate herself to follow our Lord Jesus spiritually to limbo. And limbo became paradise, the presence of Jesus among those who fear him, among those who love him, among those who waited for him, among those who were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. So he goes down into limbo and he brings them joy. Our Lady follows our Lord by virtue of this gift of living in the divine will. So the soul follows Jesus in the hours of the Passion, when we meditate these hours of the Passion too. And the joy that comes from all these prayers fills the soul even in the midst of sorrow. So if you want to find the secret of joy, you want to have joy in your heart, you must empty yourself and let the Lord fill that void with his peace, with his grace. And especially through the writings of the servant of God, Luisa Picarreta, through the hours of the Passion, through prayer, ask the Lord to give you that gift, and he will give it to you. Ask the Blessed Mother that through her maternal hands, she may bestow upon you this gift, and she will do it because this is what she wants. She wants to bilocate her Jesus in our hearts, because when she bilocates her divine Son in our hearts, in our souls, her heart triumphs over our heart. And this is what the Sacred Heart of Jesus wants. He wants to triumph over the heart of the creature. The human heart cannot triumph over the heart of Jesus, because we are creatures. We are created. We cannot have life without him. Without him, we are nothing. So we must empty ourselves, and we must let the Sacred Heart of Jesus triumph upon our tiny little hearts, our stony hearts. And once he triumphs over our hearts, once he has dominion over our hearts, he will change our hearts. He will pour the new wine into our hearts. He will change our stony hearts into human hearts, into his own heart. And this is what Our Lady wants. To one who possesses my will, neither strength nor power nor joy may be lacking. Rather, she has everything at her disposal. Do you not experience this within yourself? When you are deprived of me and you feel consumed, the light of the divine fiat forms its sea of happiness and gives you life. This is what our Lord promises, that once we immerse our soul in the divine will, once we unite our acts in the divine will, once we have the disposition in our hearts and our souls and the intention that we want to live in this way, he will bestow upon us this gift. We will possess the strength of God in us. because God will be operating in us. And this is what he wants. He wants to triumph over the will of his creature. The human will cannot triumph over the will of God. So we must surrender to him. And Our Lady is a great helper. Let's pray again this prayer to Our Lady, asking her that through her maternal hands she may bestow upon us this gift in our hearts, that she may defend us, she may protect us, that she may watch over us, our needs, our necessities. O Mary, my Mother and my Lady, I offer my soul, my body, my life, and my death, and all that will follow it. I place everything in your hands. O my Mother, cover my soul with your virginal mantle, and grant me the grace of purity of heart, soul, and body. Defend me with your power against all enemies. Fortify my soul, that pain not break it. Mother of grace, teach me to live by God's will. Unite my will to the will of Jesus. Continue to teach me about the divine will, and pour into my heart courage that I may follow your Son. Pour into my heart the gift of the divine will, that I may become more like you. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever. Amen.